We're hearing the news today from the Bureau of Meteorology that it's the hottest year recorded in Australia, 2019. What are we doing to make a difference to that? And what trajectory are we on? Professor John Church is one of the world's most expert and highly regarded scientists in sea level rise. He was the first Australian awarded the BBVA Foundation Frontiers of Knowledge Award in Climate Change, which is like a €400,000 award. It's super substantial. And he's dedicated most of his career at the CSIRO and now with the University of New South Wales to this research. Professor John Church, good morning.
Good morning.
Does this news surprise you at all?
It doesn't surprise me that temperatures are rising around Australia and that last year was a very hot year. The increase, though, is quite substantial over the previous hottest year. So we're now 1.5 degrees Celsius above the 1960 to 1990 average. And in total, we're about 2 degrees warmer than the start of the 20th century. So this is a huge change.
The first thing I know that some people will say to that is, here's a newspaper from 1896 saying cockatoos fell from the sky. Why is it being hot now different to 1932 to 1897?
Well, there's a clear trend in rising temperatures through the 20th century, particularly since about 1970. The rate of rise has been much faster. So definitely the temperatures are very much warmer. This is part of an ongoing trend. These rising temperatures are clearly a result of our greenhouse gas emissions or the world's greenhouse gas emissions. And these are projected to continue to rise. We're currently on a trajectory which is close to the worst-case scenarios that the IPCC has considered, perhaps a little bit less than that because of some of the mitigation efforts around the world. But on our current trajectory, we're set for well over 3 degrees Celsius global warming compared to pre-industrial conditions by 2100. That's well above the Paris target of well below 2 degrees with a goal of 1.5 degrees Celsius. So we're not on track to deal with climate change.
What impact do you see this having to ocean level rises, and how much of the world's population does sea level rise affect?
There's about over 100 million people living in within about 1 metre of current sea level. Something like 600 million people within about 10 metres of current sea level. Sea levels are rising. Their rate of rise is increasing. Projections are somewhere up to about a metre, maybe a little bit over by 2100. But unless we act swiftly on our greenhouse gas emissions, we will commit the world to many metres of sea level rise over coming centuries.
How is us changing our emissions going to have an effect? Because this is something that doesn't seem to get through. We still have politicians nationally, including a Prime Minister, who says, oh, well, there's volcanoes.
Well, Australia urgently needs a global agreement. If we don't have that, then we're going to see the disastrous conditions we've seen over the last few days and continuing over the next few days continue and get worse. So we need a global solution. Australia is a small part of the total emissions, but we need to encourage the global solution that requires Australia to commit to reducing our emissions, coming up with realistic plans, and fighting in the international meetings for a global solution, rather than the efforts that we've seen this year, which appear to be sabotaging efforts, international efforts for a global solution.
Nationally, we're subsidising coal industries. We give tax breaks to mining industries. The government's really kept its hands right off renewables, but that industry is booming in terms of growth. Is investing in the future of that something that makes economic sense?
Most definitely it does. We actually need to look to the future. The government needs to set the policies that encourage the right investments. We can't continue to mine all fossil fuels. We have to start to leave fossil fuels in the ground. coal mining, coal industry is a dying industry. Why are we investing in new coal mines? We have to leave that in the ground and give those people a real future, a future in an industry that's growing, in renewable energies, in using that renewable energies to both export energy and also to process minerals, etc., in Australia. Let's give these people a real future and not a dead end.
As one of my friends suggested, we're going to need a lot of firefighters if the climate keeps developing as we're seeing it now. And this is one thing that was predicted by climate scientists, is that we'd have these increasingly long, hot fire seasons. What other predictions that were made by you and your colleagues 10, 15, 20 years ago, John, are we seeing come through now? And what ones haven't happened?
Well, of course, in my own area, sea levels are rising and rising at an accelerating rate. We're seeing loss of sea ice in the Arctic Ocean, and that's been very dramatic. And now we're starting to see changes in Antarctica as well. We could be committing the world to major changes in sea level rise and other climate factors without urgent action. We're seeing one of the other projections is that hot times and wet times in wet places get wetter, so more floods, more intense floods, but also dry places and dry times get dry, so we get more intense droughts. We're seeing these impacts, and that's what's influencing Australia right now.
You're listening to Professor John Church, the climate change scientist who wrote the book on the oceans. He's highly awarded and highly regarded internationally for his work on climate change, responding to the news that last year was Australia's hottest on record. Finally, John, what countries are really doing a great job of this? Who can we learn from in Australia and take an example where lots of jobs are being created, people are making those policy decisions, and their emissions are really dropping?
So Europe is probably doing the best of nations around the world. I've just actually got up in front of me in preparation for this, diagrams of countries, 18 countries around the world, that are doing way better than Australia. For example, Denmark has got a 40% reduction in their global emissions. England is well over 20% and continuing a downward trend in emissions.
And is there evidence that by cutting emissions, those countries have experienced an economic downturn?
In general, no. There are many new opportunities that renewable energy gives, and particularly in Australia, much more than UK. We've got enough solar energy in Australia to power the world. We've got an opportunity to develop new industries, to export power to Asia, to create clean hydrogen and export that to Japan and other places. Nations are waiting. There's a real opportunity for us. But at the moment, we're squandering that opportunity.